You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Sam Turner, John Babb and Gary Capewell in the studio. We've got racing on the flat at Doncaster and Musselburgh in the afternoon, accompanied by all of the racing on the taffeta at Wolverhampton. Into the evening, we've got the usual Monday evening at Windsor. We've also got National Hunt Racing from Toaster and day two of the Killarney May Festival over in Ireland. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Bemused, Mark.
Tell me why.
A horse who wins a handicap of 85 is installed as favourite for the Derby.
You're talking about Jack Hobbs, Mick?
Yes.
Yeah.
The world's officially gone mad, Mark.
Well, we'll find out more about him in the Dante, won't we? That's shaping up to be a good race. Exactly.
I never like to make my mind up about the Derby until after the Dante. It's been such a good guy, hasn't it, over the years, and... As you say, if he puts a good performance there, maybe he's entitled to be 5-1. But on the back of that Sandown win, which is actually the other way around to Epsom, if nobody's actually noticed. Bonkers. I'm sorry. It's absolutely bonkers.
All right, yeah. So you're not bought into Jack Hobbs just yet?
I might be after York.
Yeah.
But I think he's got a fair bit of proving to do, hasn't he?
He has. Well, if he wins that, then he will have proved himself a little bit, won't he? Because he's got the likes of Elm Park in there. Yes. Looks like John F. Kennedy is going to go to the race. They're talking about Holman River as well.
His form could get a boost shortly after we record this, and he's going to be a better horse on better ground. I mean, it's not going to be lightning fast ground at York, but it's going to be better than he encountered on his season reappearance.
Yeah.
So, all to play for, Mark.
It is. It's still all to play for. We didn't really learn too much from the Lingfield trials at the weekend either.
Yeah, horse rated 87 winning the Derby trial.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
Another one for Aidan O'Brien, though. He had two on the card that were... Well, he had one that was fancied in Wedding Vow for the Oaks trial.
Yeah.
She disappointed a little bit. But Kilimanjaro beat Christopher Marlowe. Christopher Marlowe was very short at 2-5 in the end, wasn't he?
Yeah, very short indeed. And they were blaming the ground for him, which I can understand that. He's American bred, they don't get tested on soft ground, do they? Because the minute their turf tracks get soft, they switch the races to the dirt. So it's not surprising. The only surprising thing about that was why he was so short on that ground.
So the Derby picture's still pretty wide open. The Oaks is a little bit more clear, I suppose, with Legatissimo at the head of the market, won the 1,000 guineas at 7-2, found his 5-1, who disappointed really in Ireland last time on heavy ground. Diamonds and Rubies was impressive at Chester, she's 8-1, 10s for Star of Seville and 12s or bigger for the others. Do you like out in there?
I think again, he's always a good starting point, isn't it, for the Oaks, and she wasn't exactly out on her feet at the end of the guineas, was she?
No.
And yeah, I think she's probably a worthy market leader until something pops its head over the parapets and says, look at me. But until that happens, I'll just keep an open mind.
Yeah, we're recording this as well before Sunday's racing.
Yes, which...
If Stormfly were to win in Ireland, that would boost that form again, wouldn't
it? Yeah, and of course we've got the French 1,000 guineas weekend, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we've seen superstars emerge out of that, haven't we, in recent years? The daughter of Miesque running, isn't there? In the French 1,000. So, yeah, it's challenging, shall we say.
Still all a little bit up in the air, isn't it? Pretty good weekend, though, Mick. Anything else stand out to you? I mean, we had some decent jumping as well at Haydock to go with the flat stuff. The Swinton Hurdle going the way of War Sound.
Yeah, that was a good start to Kieran Gethin's professional career, wasn't it?
Not bad at all, yeah.
Yeah, good performance and... You know, I'm pleased that they run that over the conventional hurdles and not those boxy things that they've got at Haydock. They're neither one thing or the other. Winston Churchill had a great phrase for that, but I don't say it on air. yeah, so no, that was a really good performance and a feather in young Kieran's cap. It's good racing. It was good. The jump racing overshadowed the flat action at Haydock, didn't it?
Yeah, it was good. Good to see Sue Smith back in form. I'm sure.
Last three runners have all won now. Mark, Philip Power at Carlisle in the week, and then No Planning. I thought that was a very gutsy effort from No Planning. The way he sort of took the race by the scruff of the neck and just basically outstayed and outbattled them. Tremendous performance from £8 higher than his previous hurdle win. He's unbeaten over hurdles this season. Well, I think we're into a new season now. Yeah. Don't confuse me, Mark. And their other winner, Glenn Counters, good training performance, hadn't been seen for yonks. And Christmas 2013 was when she was last seen out. Yeah, she had a spring in her step, didn't she? And there's more races to be won with her. So, yeah, good day for Sue Smith. And looks like she's striking up a good relationship with Sean Quinlan there, isn't it? Mm. He seems to suit their horses, which is good, isn't it? They're all sort of prominent races, good jumpers. I think they need an attacking sort of jockey to ride them, don't you?
Yep, I would agree. Mm. Anything else caught your eye, Mick?
Yeah, that's the spirit was very impressive at Haydock. We said that the jumping out overshadowed the flat action, but it was more numerically, I meant, than quality, because that the spirit we know is a class act, and he appreciated the drop back into listed grade. I'm sure there's group races to be won with him somewhere along the way, and he's back on the winning trail, and augurs well for his season. So that was good to watch.
It was. Just one more thing to mention from Saturday as well. It's a conditional jockey that caught my eye. I suppose probably caught a few people's eye, but Tom Markham.
The apprentice. Yeah. Last winner, was it Ascot?
Ascot, yeah.
Yes, it was, wasn't it, Ascot? He's attached to the Richard Hannon team, isn't he? I think. And he's really good value for his seven. Seems to have an old head on young shoulders, and very much a boy to watch over the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, we should mention the Victoria Cup as well, Mick. Obviously a big cavalry charge down there.
Tremendous effort by a spectacular bid. He rattled up the hat-trick, given a very confident ride by Jamie Spence, and showed he wasn't just a polytrap performer, didn't he? Really good effort, and he'll be back at the big meeting at Royal Ascot, won't he?
Mm. Okay, well, let's leave that there. We've got plenty to look forward to on Monday. Mick's got four races for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, looking at Monday's action, then Mick's got two races for us at Doncaster and a couple from Windsor as well, starting in the 4:25 at Doncaster, which is a Class 3 handicap over 7 furlongs. We've got a nice big field of 16 here, Mick, so which ones do you like?
Yeah, I think it's going to be reduced to 15, Mark. A speculative bid was one of the overnight decks, so we're down to 15. And, I'll rattle through them in race card order. We'll start with Shared Equity, who's going to take a big chunk out of the market. He's from an informed stable. He's a very consistent and likeable gelding. He is £10 higher than his last win, though, and he was beaten off 89 and 91 the last twice, albeit narrowly, suggesting that marks in the 90s are not going to be beyond him. But up another £2 for that last win, which is a bit of a blow. He'll run his usual solid race, but he may just run into something a bit better treated. So that's the slight concern with him. Farlow's knocking on the door, posted two solid efforts in 2015, very close to his last winning mark. I think he's only £2 higher. The stable are in excellent form, had a great week, didn't they? And he makes the shortlist, Paul Hannigan back on board on Farlow. Ditto, Deauville Prince, from an informed stable, that of Tom Dascombe, Richard Kingscote taking the ride. Hasn't won since he won the listed two-year-old trophy at Ripon. But he's run some very good races in defeat, and we know he can handle this sort of mark. And that was an eye-catching reappearance at Thirsk, I thought, the other day. And he didn't quite get the selection, but he's certainly the danger to the selection, which is Twin Appeal, who's still unexposed. David Barron trains, Graeme Gibbons takes the ride. He's very effective at this trip, this horse. I do like 7 furlong specialists. A very good reappearance and an eye-catching one without being knocked about. David Barron's horses are in good form, and I think he's the one to beat, albeit he's stepping into class 3 from class 4, but I do think he'll be up to it. Twin Appeal gets the vote, with Deauville Prince as the biggest danger for me.
Twin Appeal for Mick then in the 4.25. The 5 o'clock at Doncaster is a class 4 handicap over a mile. This one's for the 3-year-olds. We've got a couple of debut winners in the shape of Mulasek and Master of Irony. Mick, either of those two impress you enough to think they'd follow up?
Yeah, he beat Expo's rivals, Mulasek, albeit narrowly, but Ibelad is inexperienced. The second let the form down at the weekend, only it was down the field at Ascot, wasn't it? Handicapper hasn't overdone it, though, off a mark of 80, and the step up in trips are positive too. So I'm going to sort of ignore the fact that the form hasn't exactly stood up behind him, for the fact that it was his debut and he beat experienced rivals, and he looked like a horse would be probably better than an 80 horse. So I'm going to give him the vote, Mulasek, mainly because he's got two things going for him. He's got race fitness on his side, and some of his likely form dangers, if you like, are making their seasonal reappearance. You've got the likes of Master of Irony further down, the son of McPhee, trained by Rafe Beckett, half brother to that decent horse, Captain Cat. He won a little maiden at Lingfield in December. The form's not strong, though, and he's got a mark of 76, which, you know, suggests Mulasek isn't badly handicapped off 80. The other one is Critical Risk. By means, struck a vein of form. Jimmy Fortune taking the ride. He made a solid start to his career in maidens. Was beaten odds on the second start and didn't go on. Disappointed to Haydock on his final start of 3, but as a result, his handicap mark is eye catching 72, and his profile last year suggested early doors might be a good time to catch him. And I think getting that £8 from Mulasek, he could be the greatest danger to him. But I'm going to stay with Mulasek.
Okay, Mulasek for Mick then. In that one, we go to Windsor next for their 6.50, and this is a class 4 handicap over a mile and a quarter. This one also for the 3-year-olds. So who do you like in there, Mick?
Yeah, this is it's got a competitive look about it, Mark, at first glance, and then you get into it a bit and you suddenly start to find the holes in it. You know, we'll start with Godolphin. I've got a couple. Subcontinent, it took a while to win a race, won it the fifth time of trying. He found a weak Wolverhampton maiden, and then he followed up Doncaster but over this distance. £3 rise for that, probably fair enough. William Bewick riding for the first time, as Doyle, who rode in that day, is riding the other one, trained by Sabine Thoreau, which is international name, who wears a blinkers for the first time to go with his tongue tie. He's been beaten fair and square in 2 Chelmsford handicaps and nudged up the weights for that as well. So I'd be a bit wary about both of those Godolphin runners. Quick Defence, he's going to take a chunk out of the market, trained by Sir Michael Stout, Ryan Moore on board. Fair maiden form, and better for the reappearance, as a lot of Sir Michael's have been so far this season. Off a fair enough mark. The winner of that maiden, Putting Green, ran in that Jack Hobbs race at Sandown, so he probably had no chance of in that. But the third was beaten in the first maiden next time. So the form's nothing to get carried away about, in my opinion. And I'm going to overlook him as well, running out of ideas at Arana, Mark. So I'll have to find one for you. And it's going to be Stoked, who's trained by Ed Walker. George Baker takes the ride. He improved with each start at 2, and he was very impressive on on very soft ground at Nottingham on his final start. He's got in off a mark of 79. He's a half-brother to SK Love, who was a tough customer who improved with his racing, didn't he? And I do think this this horse could have a good season. And he looks off a fair mark, as I said, of 79. If he's ready to go, and the market will tell us that. So stoked for me in the 650.
Okay, Stokes for Mick in the 650. Just looking back through the form of Stokes, well, that runner-up effort at Newbury behind Yinan. Yinan's now rated in the 90s.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
That's what made me. Yeah, I was using that race as a guide to his mark more than the Nottingham win, which he absolutely hosed up in bad grounds. So, yeah, that's really strong form, that middle run.
The final race we look at is the 720 at Windsor. This is the Royal Windsor Stakes. It's a listed race over a mile. It's for three-year-olds and older. And Shifting Power caught my eye here, Mick, because ran in both the 2,000 guineas over here and the Irish 2,000 guineas.
Yeah.
Been playing his trade in better company than this.
He brings the best mile form around, doesn't he, into this. And although it was a little bit disappointing at Sandown, it was a funny race, that, wasn't it, that day, if you remember. And he might just have needed it. I know he won first time up last season, but in much lower grade. And, you know, he probably didn't have to break sweat to do that. And he may just have needed that run at Sandown. And I think he's definitely worth risking. I mean, they're good horses, but they've all got issues of one sort and another. Intransigence got the penalty to contend with. Baltic Knight, they've gone for blinkers for the first time to try and get him to recapture his best form. Clonbrulee, his mark's gone from 67 to 107 in the last two seasons, but he's yet to break his duck at this level. But to be fair to him, he's been placed the only twice he's run enlisted in Group 3 company. So he's not out of it on that score, making his seasonal reappearance. Complicit. His best form's on the all-weather, isn't it? He's the pace angle of the race. I think he's going to be there to be shot at. The dark horse of the race is Market Share. David O'Mara trains now. Was picked up very cheaply from Pascal Barry's stable and has been gelded since then. And he's listed placed in France. He's just the sort of horse that O'Mara can work miracles with. I'd be keeping a very close eye on him in the market and whatever he does in the race with the coming weeks and months in mind. And the other one is Serious Prospect, who was back to something like his best at Doncaster last time. Hasn't won since Kempton lost back end, but that was more like it at Doncaster back in March. But I'll be surprised if Shifting Power's not too good for these.
Okay, Shifting Power then for Mick in the 720 at Windsor. Let's have a quick summary, Mick, if you wouldn't mind, before you go.
Yes, okay, Mark. The Doncaster card, the first race we looked at, it was the 425. And it's quite a competitive little handicap here. And plenty of chances. Twin Appeal makes the most appeal. He does step up from class 4 to class 3, but that was an eye-catching run, and he never stopped improving last year. And I'm sure David Barron wouldn't be pitching him in upper grade if he didn't think he was worthy of it. So Twin Appeal for me in that Doncaster 425. I like the impression that Morlesec gave when he made a winning debut at this course over 7 furlongs. I know the form has taken a knock or two, but he hasn't been overburdened with a mark of 18. I don't think any of his rivals are absolutely thrown in either. So Mulasek in the 5 o'clock. We then move on to the Monday Windsor fixture, and in the 6:50, I like the look of Stoked in this. It's a horse who brings some very solid improving form to the table, and like his brother SK Love, he looks as though he's set for a successful three-year-old season. And Ed Walker, I think, has found a good starting point for him to get in cracking. That's Stoked in the 6:50. And the listed Royal Windsor Stakes at 7:20, Shifting Power has been found a good opportunity by his astute connections to get back to winning ways.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Mick. Good luck and enjoy it Monday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Monday's racing. Then you'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. Sam Turner, John Babb and Gary Capewell will be the team in the studio. It's Doncaster and Musselburgh on the flat in the afternoon. We've also got all weather racing from Wolverhampton. Into the evening, we've got the usual Monday evening action at Windsor. We've got jumping from Toaster and day two of the Killarney Festival over in Ireland. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.